Morning Ireland, 12 minutes past seven. Limited, localised and targeted ground raids. That's how Israel has described its invasion of Lebanon overnight. They say they're targeting Hezbollah, who've been firing rockets over the border, to make it safe for thousands of Israelis to return to northern Israel. Lebanese officials say that more than 1,000 people have been killed in Israeli airstrikes in the past 2 weeks, 95 people yesterday, and that up to 1 million people have been displaced. Israel is also continuing to strike into Gaza. Sukundar Karmani is foreign correspondent with Channel 4 News. He spoke to us within the last hour from Beirut.
Overnight in Beirut, we heard a number of loud explosions as Israeli airstrikes targeted particularly the southern suburbs of the city, which, you know, are known Hezbollah strongholds. Some large huge explosions can be seen on videos shared on social media, some of them seeming to indicate secondary explosions, big fireballs reaching up into the sky. We also know that as well as Hezbollah members, you know, significant numbers of Lebanese civilians have also been killed in the past few weeks. The death toll now more than 1,600 in total here. The Israeli army, of course, overnight having announced that its ground invasion of Lebanon had begun with these, what it described as a limited operation targeting border villages. Of course, it's much easier to start a war than end a war, though. And so there's going to be real concern that there will be mission creep and that we could see this as the start of a protracted and even bloodier and more dangerous conflict. There were also an Israeli airstrike in the city of Sidon, further south to Beirut, targeting a Palestinian militant leader there, as well as an Israeli airstrike in Damascus in Syria. Hezbollah, for its part, have continued to fire rockets, missiles towards northern Israel. But, you know, really what we've seen over the past few weeks is that Hezbollah's military actions have largely proved ineffective, often being intercepted by Israel's powerful air defense systems, or not really causing much tangible damage. It's Israel that's very much on the front foot at the moment. Hezbollah really in something of a state of disarray, it seems.
Sukundar, you arrived in Lebanon not long before that ground invasion began. Can you tell me what you've seen where you are? Many of the people who are living where you are have fled since.
That's right. I mean, a huge number of people in Lebanon are now displaced, around 1 million people. That's around a fifth of the entire population. To give you an idea of the sense of panic, I mean, 100,000 people have left from Lebanon to go to Syria, you know, a deeply, deeply troubled state. You know, when we drive around the streets here, you often see cars loaded with piles of belongings as people are making their way, trying to seek some safety. In parts of the city centre, around, you know, one notable big mosque, there are people, entire families living out rough, who fled either southern Lebanon or particularly the southern suburbs of Beirut. There are schools in the city that have been taken over and are now hosting many other families from southern Lebanon and from Dahiya, this southern suburb of Beirut. We visited one yesterday that was home to around 350 people, and there are many more schools just like that. So there's definitely a pervasive sense of fear, a pervasive sense of threat wherever you go. We also visited the aftermath of one Israeli airstrike south of Beirut, where an entire apartment block, a six-story block, had been leveled. At least 45 people known to have been killed, though rescue officials that we were speaking to there believe that there were dozens more still trapped under the rubble. They said there may have been some Hezbollah members amongst the people living there, who many of whom had already been displaced from southern Lebanon, but they insisted that there were no senior Hezbollah targets there. no detailed response from the Israeli military on who the target was in that village. But I mean, it was really a confronting scene, a huge pile of rubble and twisted metal, you know, with household items, washing machines and blankets and pillows and even a Charles doll, kind of all amidst the debris.
This is a country which was barely functioning before what happened in recent weeks, and home to a huge number of people seeking asylum from surrounding countries. How is it coping now?
Yeah, Lebanon has been living through multiple crises, a massive financial crisis, a hugely dysfunctional political system. I mean, there are concerns that what we're seeing now could exacerbate communal sectarian strife between Lebanon's different communities, between the Christian, the Sunni, and the Shia communities in Lebanon. You know, there are you know, significant numbers of people in Lebanon who resent Hezbollah's political dominance here, who believe that Hezbollah is dragging the entire country into a war with Israel. There are many others, particularly from the Shia population, who are strong supporters of Hezbollah. And I think that, you know, there is a real concern that some of those fault lines that we've seen historically have very bloody consequences in Lebanon could emerge, especially as Hezbollah is so weakened. I mean, Hezbollah really has been a kind of almost a state within a state, an army, a paramilitary army that's here. It's a militia force that's better armed than many nation states. But now it's really, really on the back foot.
That's Sikandar Karmani speaking to us from Beirut, almost 20 past seven. After 2 weeks of bombing southern Lebanon, killing more than 1,000 people, 95 yesterday, and displacing up to 1 million more, Israel invaded its northern neighbour overnight. They say they're targeting Hezbollah, who've been firing rockets over the border for almost a year, to make it safe for thousands of Israelis to return to northern Israel with, quote, limited, localised and targeted ground raids. Israel is also continuing to strike into Gaza and is being blamed for strikes on the Syrian capital, Damascus, too. Nisreen is one of the million people who've been displaced as a result of the strikes and the fighting in Lebanon. She told the BBC about her experience of fleeing her home in Beirut.
Since I live 8 to 10 minutes away from the region, it was very intense. The entire house shook, and a lot of people are staying with us. So it's not just my family. We also have some of my mom's friends, her kids, her husband, people who had to flee the south. So the house was full. Everyone panicked. And since they were coming in a consecutive way, so it was like boom, 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 and they kept getting closer. My mom started crying, and then she fainted because she thought they were bombing house by house, and she thought our house was next. So it's really difficult for you to know what to do in that situation because you don't know if you save your mom or your sister. And I also have my elderly grandma who has cancer and is bedbound. And I wanted to check on her, but then my mom fainted, and I was panicking myself.
That's Nisreen, one woman's experience of fleeing her home in Beirut in recent days. Nafisha Kunavard is a Mideast correspondent for the BBC based in Beirut. Nafisha, good morning. Thank you for taking our call today. Can you tell us about what you could see and hear from where you are?
Gavin, whole night, my neighbourhood, which is not pretty close to Dahiyeh, but also it's not too far from southern suburb of Beirut, whole neighborhood were awake. We spent overnight in our balconies watching Dahiyeh to be hit, because from one side we have a view from that neighborhood, and one after another, explosions after explosion, and they were pretty loud. It was very strong bombardment last night we witnessed. We counted at least 7 very strong blasts which shook our buildings. And now that I'm talking to you, the drone is back. This is the third day in a row that we have It seems that it is Israeli surveillance drone that is flying pretty low, and there is a very, very visible and very strong buzzing. And sometimes, if you have a look to the sky, you can see it. You can see it without any camera or anything. This is how low that this drone is flying over Beirut, over all parts of Beirut, not only parts that is Hezbollah's stronghold. They are now is over my neighborhood, which is a mainly Christian populated area, and it is considered safe because it hasn't been targeted in the past wars between Hezbollah and Israel. But nevertheless, no one here is feeling safe anymore. My neighbor reposting in our WhatsApp group last night that they are scared. They remembered the Beirut port explosion that kind of damaged badly all our buildings, including the one I live in. And for many, hearing those explosions were just a reminder of that trauma, that this is still fresh.
Nafisha, what do you know of what's happening to the south of where you are?
In the south, I talked to a few people that are still staying in some villages around Israel and Lebanon border. They told me that they hear gunfire, they hear loud explosions as well. And it was obvious that the Israeli army announced officially that they have started the ground invasion, that for 11 months, everyone here was talking about it, Gavin. Every single day, people were waiting that this is going to happen, but many Lebanese were wishing that it's not going to happen, but now it's official. It's happening. And I heard that many others that first decided to stay in their houses, now they are leaving as well, coming towards Beirut. But Beirut itself also is not safe. And last night, Gavin, many people ended up sleeping under the rain in Beirut in the streets.
People in Lebanon are well aware of what has and is happening in Gaza. Do they believe they could be facing the same?
It's very difficult for many because all they watched on TVs and heard from news. Now they are leaving. We are leaving exactly the same. For example, this drone that I'm talking about. Even journalists that came from Gaza told us that, I haven't been in Gaza myself, but journalists came from Gaza here. They told me that, yeah, this is exactly what we were hearing over Gaza all the time. And now we are hearing it in Beirut as if everything transferred from there. Many of my neighbors wrote on our WhatsApp group that, yeah, Beirut is another Gaza. And this is the feeling, this is the general feeling here, because you can hear those explosions. And yesterday there was another precise targeted assassination by Israeli drones. But it happened outside Shia-populated area. It wasn't stronghold of Hezbollah, the area that was attacked. It was a Sunni-populated area. That was considered as a warning that now the war will not be limited only to Shia or Hezbollah-populated, Hezbollah stronghold areas. This is the main concern now.
If the Israeli objective is, as they say it is, to allow Israelis to return home to northern Israel, will it work?
Well, if we have a look to what most of Israeli officials are saying, for example, Israel's foreign minister yesterday, he mentioned clearly that now the objective is not just pushing Hezbollah back 10 kilometers away from the border, which was part of the negotiation led by France and the US. But now they are asking to disarm Hezbollah, which seems difficult for now. I don't think that Hezbollah is going to lay their weapon down, at least not now. So it seems they are at goals after goals. So from here, many think that it is not going to end any soon. This war is going to continue, no matter that even the border area will be safe. Still, Israel want to destroy Hezbollah completely. Then that means more attacks on Lebanon itself, because when we are talking about Hezbollah, it's now most of the people that fled from Dahiyeh, some of the Hezbollah members, they all came out from Dahiyeh, southern suburb of Beirut. They are now going to other areas, which means that those areas can be another target for Israeli attacks. And also, different parts of the country are kind of stronghold okay. of Hezbollah.
Nafisha Kunavart, Middle East correspondent for the BBC. Thank you very much for speaking to us from Beirut this morning. 23 minutes past 8.